Morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I'm glad I'm here. How about you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate the love and the hospitality of this congregation.
Amen.
I told my cousin, I said, had some good prayer. I was going to pray with him in the car before we left, and I didn't do it. But I told him that we'd had some good prayer at the house, and I guarantee you we needed it. That's some of the hardest rain I think I've ridden through. My darling sweetheart, after the wreck we had, she kind of told me, you're not driving for a while. And so I have not driven very much. I drove almost all the way home from Shreveport, which would be 360 miles, and I ain't sure it's 200 and something down here. And so I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord to help us out. Now, I've got something on my heart that, it's been on there for several days. Started praying for a message, and he started giving me something, and started thinking on it, meditating on it, and so forth. And it's really something that is very serious. And that's because it's the Word of God, but it's also God. We're dealing with God. And see here if I can write a little bit in my bad writing anymore. No, Carl, if you can even spell, it would help. Are you hearing the voice of God? Now then, how many of you appreciate your hearing? I appreciate my hearing, what little hearing I have left. And my hearing started fading in college. So it's been many years, it's just gradually gone down more and more and more. And anymore, I have to have what you call hearing aids to be able to hear good. But then there's a lot of people that don't have good hearing. There's a lot of people that do have good hearing, but the hearing of the spiritual side is much greater than the natural. We can make heaven without good hearing here, but we can't make heaven without good hearing for him up there. And God is going to call, he's going to talk, he's going to encourage, he's going to strengthen, he's going to do so much for you and I, but we've got to listen to him. We've got to hear his calls. All right, let's go to Isaiah 34 and 1, please. I've got quite a few scriptures here on this. It said, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He had delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, and the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from a fig tree. All right, let's go to 20 of Proverbs. I'll get these and then I'll get started. 20 and 12 of Proverbs. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. All right, then James 1 and 19. James 1 and 19. He says here that, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So he said here, he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. So that lets me know that this is important. It's important for you and I to hear God. If we're going to get saved, you got to hear God. If you're going to get sanctified, you got to hear God. If you're going to be blessed in church, you got to hear God. It's all connected, one thing right after another, of hearing God. If we don't listen to Him, we're going to get ourselves into trouble somewhere down the line, and He's going to have to work us over, so to speak, and get us back on track where we'll be doing what we ought to be doing. But the wise thing to do is keep our ears, so to speak, wide open and listen and say, Lord, speaketh, I'm listening. I want to hear Your voice, Lord. I want to be blessed by the power of God. So I said, swift to hear. Oh, I like that. Let every man be swift to hear. So in service, could you say that you're swift to hear? When you come to service, have you got both ears open, so to speak, and listening to the singing, to the praying, to the preaching, to the request? Are you just listening to everything that is taking part? Are you just kind of showing up and sitting down and saying, oh, this is a nice place to sit? But there's more to it than that. There's much more to it than that. There's things there that you and I need to listen to and pick up on. There have been many a time that people have gone to service and been blessed over and over because they opened their ears, so to speak, and they listened real close to what was being sung, preached, prayed, whatever, and what had come out. And they were swift to hear. They just listening intently to everything that God had for them. And that's what you and I need to do. Be swift to hear. Listen intently to the things of God. All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes 5 and 1. Ecclesiastes 5 and 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. All right, then Luke 19 and 46. I'm jumping. I don't like this really, but the way this is set up, I'm jumping from the new to the old and back to the new and the old, so back and forth. So you bear with me and love me anyway, okay? 19 and 46 of Luke. He says, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Very attentive to hear him. Oh, Lord, help us to be attentive to hear him. Get real close to him. Just be very thankful for what the Lord is giving and doing. Even if sometimes the message will hit us pretty hard. Can we say, thank you, Lord? Yeah. We say, Lord, thank you. I'm getting a good whipping this morning, but that's all right. You know, mom and daddy straightened us out with a good whipping years ago, and it done us some good. I'm thankful for my parents. I appreciate what they taught me. My grandfather was a preacher, and dad was raised right. Mama was raised right, and they raised us children right. No drinking, no drugs, no cigarette, none of that kind of stuff. And we've lived a good, clean life. Some of us are saved, and I don't know about the others, but the bottom line is we were taught right, and we got a good spanking along the way if we didn't do something right. Well, the Lord needs to spank us once in a while. He needs to give us a good whipping. So, Lord, help us to be very ready. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fool, for they consider not that they do evil. Keep thy, be ready to hear. Oh, Lord, help us to be ready. Be ready. And then over here he goes, they could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, there is people out there listening real close to the Lord. And it's wise for all of us to do that, not just a few. And Just be real attentive to listen to him. He had a hard time. Jesus didn't always have it easy. He had some good, bad, and ugly, so to speak. But the bottom line was he did have people that listened to him real closely. They moved. They done. They responded. They got help from him, both heart, soul, mind, and body. He saved many people. He delivered people. He also healed people by the hundreds and maybe thousands because they listened to him. He called and they moved. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and 1. Deuteronomy 6 and 1 here. Oh, the Lord wants us to listen very closely. Closely to what he's saying. Deuteronomy 6 and 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that the days may be prolonged. Yes. Said, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Yes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. So it's very important for you and I to listen intently. He said, hear therefore, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. I like things to be well with me. Now it's not always perfect. But still, the bottom line is it's wise. Well, it's good. It's a blessing. There's going to be times we're going to suffer. I lost Rebecca. It was no cakewalk. I hurt and hurt for months and months. I cried and cried and cried. But the Lord knew what he was going to do with me. And he spoke to me about 2 weeks after he told me that he was going to take her. He spoke to me and he said, grief is going to be part of your ministry from here on out. Wow, I never even thought about that. He's going to take her away, and then he's going to let me deal with grief and other people for years. But you know what? I love every minute of it. And I'm doing it to the best of my ability. I'm sending cards, talking, calling. I was on the phone yesterday to somebody that lost her second companion, and we was trying to help her and bless her. Oh, today, folks, we got to listen to the good and the bad. There's times that the Lord's going to call us to some hard things. It's not always going to be easy. You can say, oh, you preachers, you got it easy. I wish I did. I tell you what, I wish I did. I've done both sides of this thing, and I know what I like the best, but the bottom line is, it's not always easy. But the call came. I want you to work at Guthrie. The call came. I want you to work in South Carolina. And then when he got through with me, he just spoke to me after service one day and said, I'm through with you here. I was prepared to go for another 5-6 years. And he said, I'm through with you. Then I landed up with a burden. And, well, I got a burden and landed up in Shawnee for over 10 years there. But see, we've got to listen real closely. We do not want to miss one little thing because he's got the richest, most wonderful thing for you and I if we just listen real close. Oh, just listen real close. Love the Lord thy God. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Now then, if we love him with all our heart, it's going to be easier to hear him. Amen. Be easier to hear him if we love him. Yes. I like to tell Molly, hey, baby, I love you. Yes. Guess what? I like her to say it back. Yes. And I like her to say that. I tell him, Pat, coming down here on a GPS deal, the lady was talking. This had been several years ago when I married Rebecca Ann. And I wasn't thinking. I was driving and everything. And little lady was speaking and got through. And I said, thank you, dear. Woo! Rebecca and said, I'm your deer, not her. I got news for you, folks. I never made that mistake again. See, sometimes we got to get slapped upside the face real good. And she didn't literally slap me. But get our attention and you don't do those things anymore. That's what God is trying to do. But he said, I want you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Love him completely. And then anything that he calls you to do is going to be easy to do. Isaiah 43 here. About the 8th verse, 43 and 8 of Isaiah. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf people that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this. And shew us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Even I, the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. I've declared and I've saved and I've shewed. There was no strange gods among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yeah. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? All right, let's pick up Psalms to go with that 85 of Psalms, 85 and 8. Here. He said, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in their land. Now then, he's saying over here in Isaiah, I thought I had it marked and I didn't. Isaiah 43 here. Talk about bringing the blind people and so forth. It said, let all nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this. And shew us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is truth. Now he said, you're my witnesses. Now folks, the only way we can be real good witnesses is to hear very carefully. And learn exactly what he wants us to do. To read. And You learn by hearing. And so consequently, if we just listen intently, and like I said, Lord spoke to me, he said, grief's going to be part of your ministry. Okay. And so what did I do with that? Well, another sister told me that had lost a daughter in a car wreck and a niece in a car wreck and her life almost killed in a car wreck. She told me that she was suffering on this, grieving hard, and she said she got some counsel, and an older aunt that was a minister among us told her, said, this is what you need to do. You need to heal from the inside out, not the outside in. Well, she thought about that, and so she told me, she said, what I did is when I started grieving, I would cry out, Lord, send me fresh comfort. And he said he would do it a lot of times. He said, Carl, you need to do that. You know what I did? I didn't do that. Now, wait a minute. You ain't listening. Yes, I am, because I wanted to know everything God wanted to teach me about grief. I wanted to understand when I climb in your bucket with you, I understand the pain you're suffering. There ain't nothing like it. Death is a horrible, horrible thing. It takes people's lives away. Just like this little boy, 8 years old. The mama didn't even sleep, I understand, the first night at all. She's devastated. And somebody needs to climb in her bucket with him and say, I'm here with you. I'm here to help you. I'm here. Well, you got to do that by learning, by listening real careful here. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You learn these things by listening real close. I was coming home one morning. I didn't know I was going to get into this. But I was coming home one morning, and I was crying. Driving home, and I was crying. And I said, Lord, I said, she was not even 60 years old, and you took her. You know what the Lord told me? He said, child, age don't matter to me. It's eternity that counts. I heard that. I got a hold of that. I've used that in messages over and over down through the years. He's interested in one main thing, and that's the soul of mankind. He died for those souls. He wants to take you to heaven, and he does it by talking and persuading and working with you and I and helping us to understand the depths of this trial, of that trial, of this tribulation, that tribulation. He does it to help us so we can be witnesses to somebody else. We can say, I understand. On Christmas Day, after Rebecca died in January 21st, all the way down to the next Christmas, I was sitting in church, and we'd had a ordinance service, I believe it was, and they were talking how that people among the saints had given their lives for the gospel. And I thought, now wait a minute. Rebecca's given her life for the gospel. And the tears started flowing. And you know what happened? There's a brother from Missouri coming. I never even seen come. He come plumb across, I guess, the front of the chapel. I was on this side. He was over there. He come over there, and he put his arm around me, and he started hugging me up. That helped. That helped, folks. But on that day, I guess, or right in that area, God touched me, and he healed my broken heart. He can heal your broken heart. He can take that pain away, those tears away. He can do that. It took me 2 weeks to discover it. I knew something had happened, but I was meditating and praying and I guess reading, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, Carl, he's healed your broken heart. That's why you ain't crying anymore. And I'm listening. Yeah, he's done that. So I got some more to talk about. See, these trials and tribulations seem like something a lot, but the bottom line is, for us to be good witnesses for the Lord, to have a great testimony for God, we've got to go through them, and he's got to lead us by his hand and say, come with me, child, I got something for you to do. Got something for you to do. All right, let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew the 13th chapter here. Hearing. How's your hearing today? Like I said, I started losing my hearing when I was in college. And I just kind of fooled around and didn't do anything much with it till I got older and I couldn't hardly hear at all. And then I started deciding to check into some good old hearing aids. And I got some. And it's amazing how well I can hear now. Right off, I got to the house and the AC had turned on, or the heat or whatever it was, and I could hear that noise. I hadn't heard it before. I wouldn't say if I got close to it, I could hear it, but if I was very far away, I couldn't. See, that hearing aids help. But folks, I may be wrong, but I don't know of any hearing aids spiritually. There are not any, is there? If you can find some, let me know. And I'll talk to you about him. But the bottom line is, he wants our ears to be very well trained, to be able to listen to the voice of the Almighty God. This is not just anybody. Listen, young people, God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. You've got to learn to listen to what he says. I started at this when I was 17 years old. 18 years old, I guess. Got saved in 71, started preaching in 75. And he worked with me. He talked to me. I asked him one day, I said, Lord, what am I going to be? An evangelist or a pastor? You know what he said? He's so wise. He didn't tell me. He said, what I want you to do is preach what I give you. He didn't tell me what I was going to do. If he had showed me I was going to do both, I'd probably run the other way. But he didn't. He just said, I want you to preach what I give you, child. All right. That's what I've been doing for 50 years. Over 50 years. I've been trying by the best help of God to preach to the people of God what he gives me to help them to grow in the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. 13 and 10 of the good book of Matthew here. He said, and his disciples came and said to him, what speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Now listen to what this is saying. And he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, they see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their eyes are dull of hearing. No, their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, with their eyes. Lord, help me. See with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now then, when I said a while ago about the Lord speaking to me, now folks, God can speak to you where you can actually hear it with your natural ears. And I was walking across the parking lot praying, and that's what he spoke to me. He just spoke to me. I heard it with my natural ears. I understood right away what he was getting at. I want you to preach what I give you. These people here, they shut their eyes, they shut their ears, they didn't want to have anything. And if their hearts wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest at any time that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. That's what he wants. Children, young people, I want to beg you to listen to the word of God, to God himself. He'll talk to you. Listen, folks, it's nice to hear from a president or a senator or a congressman. But listen, folks, this is a God of heaven. And he's greater than all of them put together. And he wants to talk to you. I got news for you. It's a high honor for God to speak to you. To just talk to you, even in gentle, easy tones. I didn't know I was going to get into some of this, but anyway, you pray for me. Yes. All right, 1975, I'd gone to Laranger, Hammond, gone to the Hammond camp meeting. And I'll be honest with you, I was getting up in age, and I was thinking about getting married. So I come back home, and I was thinking about the girls, and Rebecca was one of them that was in that group that I was looking at. And you know what happened? The Lord spoke to me again where I could hear it, my natural ears. And he said, child, he said, if you're going to be a minister for me, said, you let me pick your companion. That got my attention. But you know what? It took me a long time to get there, but I finally made it. Because I turned 25, and that put a fear in me that I definitely did not want to make a mistake. The Lord talking, Him telling young people, be careful, listen, pray, fast, do whatever you need to do, but be careful of the individual that you marry. Well, they're saved, Brother Carl. They may be, but that might not be your companion. He wants to give you His choice because He knows what you're going to be doing down life's way. And He knows a companion that will best fit in that situation. So He wants to give you the one that He so picked. So they didn't. He said, He answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and to him, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, to him shall be taken away, even that he hath. I speak unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not. That is a sad place to be. Very sad place to be. And the Lord does not want anybody in that position. He wants them with their eyes wide open and their ears wide open, where that the Lord can help them to see and to hear what He wants them to see and hear. All right, let's jump to 23 and 19 of Proverbs. 23 and 19 of Proverbs. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Now, there's teachers out there that can teach us. There is mothers and fathers that can teach us. There is pastors and evangelists that can teach us. But the greatest teacher of all is God. He is the supreme, superior one. And so we want to listen to Him over everybody else. All right, let's go to John 3 and 1, please. Thank John 3 and 1. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things? You don't know them? And I'm trying to tell you, and you're still not getting a hold of this? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I told you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Nicodemus was not a, how do I say this politely? In other words, he should have been smarter than what he was. I guess that's the way to put it. I don't want to call him stupid, but He wasn't listening and he wasn't getting. The Lord was trying to get something very, very easy across to him. But he didn't get it. And he worked with him and he worked with him and he still wasn't getting it. Listen, folks, Lord, help us the first time around that we get it. Not wait 30 years later, 20 years later. Let's get it now. The Lord needs people now. He needs teachers. He needs preachers. He needs evangelists. He needs all these things from God to be handed down of us being a witness for him of all the things that God has done for you. You're a powerful person that can witness that God has saved me and delivered me. He wants that. He wants it now. And he wants you to take it and run with it, so to speak. He wants you to bubble up and bubble over and be shouting that God has done something for me. Listen, young people, listen closely to what he's telling you. Listen closely. Get real close to him and listen. Oh, today, poor Nicodemus. Poor Nicodemus. The Lord got some things told to him, but I don't know that he ever did really get a hold of them. Never did. Now let's go to Ezekiel 40 and 1. Ezekiel 40 and 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel. He set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. He brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, he said to him now, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I have shewed thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought thither, declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house and round about, and a man's hand, a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building 1 reed and a height 1 reed. Now he said, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I will show thee. Set thy heart upon all. Now he's going to all the trouble to show us these things and to work with us. Lord, help you and I to set our heart on them, no matter what it is. Well, you don't quite understand, Brother Carl. Yeah, I do. Well, there's this pretty girl over here that I would like to go with, and the Lord's dealing with me to go with somebody over here. You better do what he tells you to do. You better go where he tells you to go. You never know how much good hearing the things of God in the Bible, in testimonies and so forth, you don't know how much good you can do one individual out there with what you've heard yourself. Yeah. Well, I'm just a young person. That don't matter. God uses young people. Yeah. And he uses them in the church, but he can also use them any other place on jobs or whatever to help people. He wants to get help to people. And folks, our world is going down the drain so fast. Yeah. It is doing so bad today that young people are doing things they didn't do when we was young. Right. They didn't go into 50 of them or 75 of them and go into a 7-Eleven store and tear the store all to pieces and walk out. That didn't happen. What we did do is some of us got together at lunch and went into a small store near the school and done something that I quit after I got saved, well, right before I got saved, and that was we'd steal a candy bar or an ice cream bar. Well, some of us got the attention of the owners, and the rest of us went around getting small things and slipping them in our pocket. I did do some of that. I had to repent of that, though. And I tried to go back and make restitution, but the people, I even went up to the vice principal. Do you know anything? Said, well, they shut the store down. They moved. Said, I don't know where they're at. Well, he said, you just have to. I told him what I was doing. He said, you're just going to have to let the Lord take care of it. That's all you can do. Something like that. Son of man, behold with thine eyes. Is our eyes wide open, our ears, and set thine heart upon all that I will shew thee. All. For to the intent that I might shew them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Declare all that thou seest. All right, let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 13. Hearing. Lord, help us to hear real good. 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom did man say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now then, who am I? Some says this, some says that. They were listening to what people were saying. But the bottom line was, this had to be a spiritual enlightenment. It wasn't just anything. This had to be a spiritual enlightenment for Jesus to be known who he was. And Peter told him, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. And he said, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. I have taught people, working at the altar, down through the years, that you get saved. Then you've got basically three good things you got to do. You got to pray, you got to read the Bible, and you got to go to church. Revival meetings, camp meetings, do all. Be in there. That will begin to get you into a place that it will not only help you to learn, but it'll also help kind of stir up your hunger a little bit and help you to want to be there more. In other words, see what God's doing. See the blessings that he's giving. See the healings that he's doing. Wow, I didn't know that. And in all of that, the Lord is going to reveal himself to you more and more. He's going to enlighten you, inspire you, challenge you, stir you. He's going to do things that'll be a blessing to you. But you got to do your praying and your reading. And you got to go to service. I don't remember how old I was. Brother Leslie come there when in 1972. I got saved in the fall of 71. He come at this, I remember, in the summer of 72. Became our pastor at Guthrie. And he got up to preach, I think, one night. And before he started, the Lord gave me a scripture in the Bible. So I turned to it. He opened his Bible, and he called the very scripture that the Lord had given me. Wow. Before he called his next scripture, the Lord gave me another scripture. I turned it. The Lord gave me every scripture that Brother Leslie used in that message before he called it. Now that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Not because it's me, but he's helping me to understand and get a hold of some things that you just can't get a hold of any other way. It comes from God. And you and I want to get a hold of that and say, thank you, Jesus. I've never had that happen before. Before or since. That one time is the only time he done it. But I got my lesson, so to speak, see. And he wants us to do those things. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to get real close to the Lord. Amen. Who am I? Well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, one person got it out of the others. And he said, but blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. The revelations of God. And when we're hearing correctly, the revelations can be the greatest thing that you ever have in life. Something that will absolutely at times just overwhelm you nearly. And you may be by yourself. You may be in a congregation. You might be in a camp meeting. You might be with your wife or your children. And you're meditating or whatever. Wife and I have a Bible study every evening, nearly every evening. Sometimes maybe one of us don't feel good and we don't. But usually we're praying and reading the Bible and so forth. He's open. See, these are the things we need to open the door and say, Lord, teach me. Here am I, Lord. Teach me. I want to learn. Just talk to me, Lord. Like I say, you get married, you're going to like that little, I love you. Oh, you're a sweetheart. You're a darling. You're going to like that. But I'm going to tell you, when Christ starts talking to you, it's even greater than a wife or a husband. Yes. Amen? It's even greater because he is who he is. And he wants to help you and I. He wants to get us to heaven. Amen. So, Lord, help us to say, Lord, I want to listen. I got my ears wide open. Lord, what do you got for me this morning? Well, I didn't really like that, what that preacher preached on. But think about it. Consider it. What the Lord is trying to get to you. This is between you and the Lord now. And the preacher's preaching. He's laying it down. And I know you're getting some very good food down here, some steak and taters from the ministers here. So I know you're not starving to death. And he's preaching good things. But how much have we gotten in the last week? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, 2 months, a year, whatever. How much are we getting out of what's being preached? What's being preached? How much are we getting? How much are we getting? The Lord's got some wonderful things to tell us if we'll just listen. Had a man when I was in business. I had a partner that set me up. He and I was in partnership together in service station. And had a man that was way up in a company, and he was a supervisor, whatever. And he said, Carl, he said, we get these college young men out of college, and they come out on the job, and they look everything over. And they decide they know more than me and anybody else. That's not the way the Lord wants it, folks. He wants us to show up at church and say, here am I, Lord, teach me. Yes. Just teach me, Lord. I'm just a hungry little saint of God. And I don't know very much, but if you'll start teaching, I'll start listening. I appreciate your time. Pray for me.